Welcome to Binary Jazz. This is a podcast with Binary Gary, who is Gary in the real world. Also with Allison Plus, who is Allison in the real world. Also with Jazz Seat 3 Quince, who is Chris in the real world. Welcome. We all talk like computers here.
I was really trying to make it through that whole thing without laughing. That was an excellent intro.
I admire your commitment.
Yeah.
It's good. It wasn't really planned. There was no foresight there. It was a thing and I went with it. And then I got to my handle. I'm like, how would a computer say jazz sequence with a three in it? That would be jazz three quince.
It did sound as though when you introed Allison that you were questioning who is Allison in the real world.
Yeah, I sometimes those text to speech engines like add weird inflections. I thought
in the city of Concord, according to a Siri.
I mean, I too am questioning who I am in the real world. So
it's just not fair for a computer to do it. Like, yeah. I've got this. I don't need to outsource that to a machine yet.
For grabs.
I think it's okay to question that who you are in the real world.
So
people say where they're like, I'm not struggling with anxiety. I'm like acing it. I'm just like, I'm excelling at anxiety.
Fantastic. That's so good. Yeah. Yeah. I'm an expert.
So congratulations, Gary, for your ground control bot being mentioned on Y Combinator. I know it was sort of an afterthought, but it does feel like this is it. You've made it. This is your claim to fame. And it was good that it happened after you fixed that weird logging bug.
Yeah, it's a pretty good thing that I don't keep a 9.7 gigabyte log file any longer on a stupid side project. The longer I write code, the more it's always something silly that breaks. Like, I'm actually thrilled that I was able to log into the server. I've run into times where like the file system is so full that you can't log in. So that was neat that I could log in and delete that file. It was so full that I could not, I couldn't ls directories. So I could change directories, but I couldn't ls directories because there was not enough memory available to ls apparently. So I'm like, oh God, I need to hurry. Like I'm about to lose the ability to do anything here. Yeah, yeah.
It's like if it was a video game, you'd be running through a hallway and columns would be like crashing down behind you.
Have you seen the stupid television show?
That's what hacking looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh no, now I responded, I forgot another show. It's terrible. It's a stupid show. It's a reality TV show, mini golf. Rob Riggle is one of the announcers. It's absolutely ridiculous. You can jump in at any point. There's no like there's
a reality TV show about mini golf.
Yes. We have to Google it. What's that?
Just mini golf?
It's like people are competing against each other. Holy moly, it's called. I highly recommend you watch one episode. You don't need to watch any more because it's pretty much the same jokes for every episode. Maybe not, but it's like, yeah, that's it. Watch one episode. I won't judge you if you watch more, but where was I going with this? Oh, there's a hole called hole number two where you putt and then past a bunch of porta potties, and then you have to run after your ball to the rest of the course. The porta potties randomly open and knock you into the water. Anyway, that's where I was headed.
It's the same course.
Yeah.
They don't ever change the course.
American Gladiator / mini golf.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Yes, I said that to Rhonda. I said American Gladiators paved the way for this, thankfully, which meant we also had to go watch an episode. No, I believe we watched two episodes of American Gladiators. The nostalgia was hitting hard. We needed to see some of the other gladiators. They weren't all in the first episode we watched. Wow. Can you imagine like someone like an alien arrives on Earth and they're like, you know, they've sort of like understood like the whole like, okay, well, biological beings need energy and so you consume food and liquids, right? Or solids and liquids generally to create energy and you excrete the waste, whatever. You have to recharge so you sleep at night, blah, blah, blah. And then we start talking about entertainment. You're like, oh, yeah, let me show you American Gladiators. Like, what context is already assumed at like the start of that? Like if you just saw that and you had no other context, the first thing you would think is like, oh my gosh, are these like gladiators? Like, are they employees of the government? Because it's American Gladiators. Yep. Like, is this the way we punish criminals? Or is this the way like you handle election? Well, actually, it turns out yes, it's fuck.
That was a roller coaster.
Yeah. I feel like I was just taken on an emotional journey.
this is how it rolls these days. So somewhere I read online that like walking daily is supposed to help, you know, have a calming effect. A bullshit.
Well, a calming effect, unless you're someone who gets very in your own mind.
I can't seem to get away from it. Can't even walk away from it. It comes with me.
Because like walking is nice, but if you're not distracted from your own thoughts, then you're in your own thoughts, which can be good, but sometimes no.
I have this problem recently where like the podcasts I've been listening to, they're engaging, but not engaging enough. That's not true.
Switch
the space
it up.
Above us. Well, the space above us, when that every other Thursday means that Friday morning walks are fantastic because that is a show I won't miss. It is a show that I play at normal speed and I await the next sentence constantly.
You listen to podcasts at a higher speed generally. I know a lot of people do that.
Oh yeah. Yep. I listen to
I tried there was a
stuff you should know.
There was a Kickstarter last year that we backed that was for these like hard shell paddle boards that fold up. And they're called origami paddlers. And it's like, whoa, that was my microphone. It's like a, you know, it does a thing and then it falls down.
For those of you that are getting the audio only version.
Yeah, that was dumb. Like I smack my microphone and then I do a hand gesture to describe how the, it whatever. Anyway.
No, it's fine.
For us.
where was I going? Oh yeah, they did a town hall because in their initial paddle boards that they've produced and shipped, some of the hinges have gotten broken or damaged during shipping. And it's like a small percentage, but it's a significant percentage. And it's only happening during shipping. It didn't happen during any of the actual product testing or anything. And so they did a town hall to sort of talk about that stuff. And that was the first time, because I didn't want to listen. It was 40 minutes. It was like, I didn't want to listen to the whole thing. That was the first time I've ever listened to something intentionally at more than just normal speed. I know it's a thing that people do, but it's not a thing that I do. And that's including watching 300 episodes of Critical Role, each of them being an average of like 4 to 4.5 hours. That was all normal speed, normal time.
So
I watched videos at normal speed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Literally before this started, I was watching some serverless Laravel videos, and I do those at 1.5. And every time it starts, like, I finish, they're short, they're maybe 4 or 5 minutes. And so that finishes, and I go to the next video. Well, the next one starts at normal speed, and then preserve your settings. So when the next one starts, it always sounds like the host is just like very drunk, because they're previously, their speaking has been so concise, you know, and to the point and quick. And then so the next one, they go, hello, welcome. And I'm like, dang, man, are you? And then I put the speed up and it's fine. Jack is probably not drunk, but it just, it's fine. I have a podcast I listen to on Mondays that gives me like a quick summary of what the hell's going on in NASCAR, because Tyler is going to want to talk to me about stuff. And I'm like, this is like a way to catch up. But that one has to be at 1.5x and finger over the skip ahead 30 second button when they hit commercials, which works perfectly in high speed mode. Like, way to go, Apple. Way to think that through. Like, that's nicely done. Stuff You Should Know I listen to at 1.5x, but only because, you know, like, it's good. And sometimes I'm like, I'm into this topic. And sometimes I'm like, I feel like we're filling time here.
Yeah, no, I don't do fast speeds. Maybe it's, yeah, I don't know. I probably could, but like, I don't.
What's the rush? I get it. Yeah. I get it.
I feel like I need to slow down just generally anyway.
Oh,
there's this podcast called Hurry Slowly, and it's all about like being in the moment and just being more conscious, I would say, overall. And I was talking to Robin, and I was like, does it defeat the purpose if I'm listening to Hurry Slowly at like 1.5, 2 times the speed?
It's fantastic. I also, probably, all my wacky spirituality podcasts, I've actually like unsubscribed from a half dozen philosophy and quantum physics and spirituality recently. So I've really limited that because, oh wow, weird that my mind spirals all over the place when I'm listening to those shows. What a crazy correlation.
It's almost like, why can't I sleep when I listen to so much true crime? Who knows?
Yeah, it's a mystery, isn't it? I don't know. Obviously, like, I guess it was Monday or Tuesday, I stopped listening to podcasts for a bit and talked. And before I started talking, like, I clearly wasn't listening to the whatever podcast was on because, oh, I think it was a NASCAR one. Shit. Because I wanted to talk about something else anyway. And then today I got to the part of the walk where it's like a half mile through a heavily wooded area. I often like turn it way down during that point. And then today I'm always like, why? Like, cause I'm not listening anyway at that section of the walk. So I just put my earbuds out for that half mile, you know, and then put them back in right out to the section near the road that's a little less engaging.
Do we have a topic?
We do, although, well, it kind of fits. Past Allison kind of threw me a Hail Mary on a post-it.
Way to go, Past Allison.
Way to go, Past Allison.
Is this a pre-move Past Allison or a post-move Past Allison?
Pre-move, because I found it in a box.
Nice. That is excellent. Yeah, I was really hoping that it was pre-move Past Allison and it had just been sitting somewhere for like 3 months.
Not just that, but how many miles has that posted?
No, yeah, that is today. Yeah.
So the topic is icky guy.
Icky guy.
Yeah, IKIGAI.
Okay. I went ICKY.
I know, it feels very on brand for me.
Ew, icky guy. All right, hold on, let me.
Well, the first thing we do is break it down. Yeah, and so this is obviously Japanese, which means we cannot use any prefixes or suffixes to figure anything out. So let's fast forward to that section of the analysis. Icky guy. It
obviously pronunciation up in the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, let me create a new post. And I will get the spelling again. And I will stare at it and pretend that it's going to eliminate anything.
I-K-I-G-A-I.
This is a dining term.
Ikigai. I'm sure.
Yeah. It's something that happens or something you do when dining out with friends, but I'm not quite sure what.
like a faux pas.
It might be like the way you determine how to split the bill at the end of the night. The Japanese would have a term for that.
It's not rock, paper, scissors.
Isn't it? Because that sounded like perfect.
Wouldn't that be so awesome if that's actually what it was? And at the end, Allison was like, oh, haha. Years ago when I was doing the poker thing, went out to the World Series of Poker and we, as a company, went out to dinner with a lot of our poker pros. And because they just had no concept of the value of a dollar. Like, you know, it's Vegas, so fine dining is easy to find, but we would go out and like the way the bill we paid is like, someone would be like, all right, and hold out a hat, and everyone that ate would throw in a credit card, and the waiter would pull the credit card, and that's who paid, because these people are degenerate gamblers. But I mean, that was like what you were opting for when you went out to now as a company. We were like, that's great, because we were happy to foot the whole bill for all these people. But you know, if the odds are, you know, 1 out of 12 that we're not going to foot the bill, even better.
I'd throw in my library card or something.
Not a bad idea. Yeah, I don't know. It was just a stupid thing that we did for many meals.
I'm hazarding a guess that this was mostly men.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, yeah. This is like the white dude's book, yeah. Yeah.
Key guy,
so before,
okay.
Like, yeah.
I think.
Let's get back to the topic at hand.
Yeah.
No one cares about poker.
I think
I certainly didn't then, and I'd care less now.
I think ikigai is I definitely think it's a culinary term. I think you're onto something there. I'm going to say that it's some sort of like fish paste. That's like
you're leaning too hard into the icky part. I think
no. I mean no. I mean, because they use fish paste in lots of things, yeah. And like, you know, Thai food has lots of oyster sauce. Like, it's a thing. I think it's like fish paste that's used in the cooking of something else. I mean, Japan's a big island. It's an island that they use seafood a lot. So I think that it would make sense.
Yeah, rewind. Back to the Thai food with the oyster sauce.
Yes.
Okay, oyster sauce is obviously not vegan. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. I mean, that was, I felt like it was a dumb question, but I had to confirm. Maybe it's not actually oyster sauce, but, or maybe oyster doesn't, I don't know. My second question is, that's used a lot in Thai food, but the Thai menus are often like vegan friendly. Do you specifically need to order and say like, I would like this vegan when you order Thai food or?
Yes, either we get the stuff that doesn't have oyster sauce in it. If there's something on the menu that says, and it's made with oyster sauce, then we just avoid those things. Or we specifically say vegan, which if they understand what that means, which a lot of places do, they will make it just without the oyster sauce. I don't know what the oyster sauce adds, because I don't know how much Thai food I was eating before I was vegan. I don't know that I was eating very much Thai food before I was vegan. So I don't know what I'm missing.
I had a Penang curry the other day and did tofu. And I'm wondering now, like, was there oyster sauce in it or not? I have no idea. Probably not. Curry, but
I usually see it in like stir fries and like noodle things, mm-hmm. But not all the time.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for that sidebar.
And sometimes they use like an oyster mushroom sauce. That's vegan.
Yeah, I do think that there's like a vegan oyster sauce that is.
Got it.
But again, I don't know what I'm missing.
Basically, just adds like a saltiness. I don't think it's like.
Yeah.
An earthy. Well, I guess it would be earthy since it's in the ocean, but an earthy salt.
It'd probably be unami.
Yeah. I love that at Trader Joe's you can just get like, in the spice section, you can just get like a container of that. It's like mushroom powder or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I bought some to try it out last time I was there because I was like, well, I'm here. I can only smuggle so much everything spice back with me. And it's interesting, but I don't really use it that often. Like, I don't know what to use it on, like kind of sprinkle it on vegetables or like sauces, but like.
I was going to say in sauces, but generally early on is where I think I have had the most success with it.
Yeah.
But that's a really relative term in my case.
Success. Yeah.
Yeah. When the window only opens this much, like, I did make tomato sauce last week though, and it's fine.
It's fine.
it's better than what you would get out of a jar, but it's, you're not like, oh, this is amazing. You're like, eh.
So no one is like, oh, it's just like my Nona used to make, or like.
Yeah, that's accurate.
All right, so Gary, what you do is you get 2 cans of red tomatoes, or you know, just a bunch of actual tomatoes. You put some oil and garlic in a pot, and you heat the garlic up until it's a little bit roasted, and then you put the tomatoes in, and then you put an amount of basil and oregano, just like sprinkle some of that stuff on as much as you want. And oh no, with the oil and garlic, you put in chili peppers to taste, however spicy you want this stuff. Put the chili peppers in with the garlic, then you put the tomatoes in and then the stuff. And then what we do, and that makes it really good, just sort of a spicy sauce. Yeah. Then what we do is we make it a rosa sauce. So we do like a cream sauce. So we soak cashews and we blend them up with, I put in like nutritional yeast, a little bit more basil and oregano, and just blend it up and then pour it in. And so now you've got sort of a pinkish, like a rosa sauce. And then you just dump a whole bunch of like veggies in there. Like I usually fry the veggies up and then just whatever we have in the kitchen this week, throw it in there and then put it on a pasta.
Tofu. I had 2 big tomatoes, not that big, but big tomatoes from my neighbor's garden, and probably like 3 pounds of cherry tomatoes that I put in. And I did oil and garlic. I guess in that same vein, like I put like just a little bit of pesto in to treat it as like a seasoning, right? When it got like really hot, it was a bit on the acidic side, so I was like, I need to throw some sweetness in. So I used.
Oh yeah, we put in brown sugar. Well, we don't use brown sugar. Right? We use coconut sugar for the same thing. So I put in coconut sugar, like a tablespoon of that.
Yeah, I put in just like a squirt of honey and mixed it in and tasted it until it tasted right. I don't know what else I put in there. Oh, carrots. I put like just a little bit of carrot in because that's also on the sweeter side to help break some of that acidity. Missing something. Oh, when I had the garlic in there, I of course had some onions as well. Not much. And then I used the immersion blender because the tomatoes, cherry tomatoes, like I wasn't taking the skin off like 1,000 cherry tomatoes.
Yeah. Well, we don't either. I would just let them cook.
Yeah, it was just a lot of ratio of skin to.
We make a sort of like what we call it pesto, but it's like with tomatoes. Like it's really just sort of a hearty, thick tomato sauce. It's separate from this that we like whenever we have a huge harvest of tomatoes, we just dump them all in the pot and boil it way, 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 way down.
It's crazy how much that reduced.
I mean, yeah.
I'm like, oh, this might, I might have a problem here, like right at the top of the pot. And by the time it was done, it was, further away full. So
yeah.
Lesson learned. I will like go with way more tomatoes next time, but only if I'm not going to buy tomatoes for that. once I can get it for like super cheap.
We picked up our CSA box yesterday, and there's a cucumber that's the size of a small boa constrictor. And I don't know what I'm going to do with it, because I'm like, I like cucumber, but like, I'm just like, this is a lot. It's gigantic. I'll take a picture with like something for scope, for size. Yeah. It's like carrying a small child.
We came back from our trip, and we were looking in the garden, and we had a couple of very large cucumbers, Armenian cucumbers. Yeah, Armenian cucumbers. So one of them is like that big, and one of them is like a little bit smaller. And then we usually do like lemon cucumbers, which are, you know, just small, round. And we had a couple of those, but the Armenian cucumbers were doing really well while we were gone. So we had several very large cucumbers.
And they get curvy.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like sitting on the counter, and every time I round the corner into the kitchen, I go, oh.
Snake.
Is ikigai. Round the corner and you see a cucumber sitting on the counter, and you're like, oh, that's ikigai.
You're startled by produce.
Did I tell you about when I took Charlotte to the grocery store with me recently, and they had like the water turned on, and I'm like, oh, the vegetables are taking a shower, and she was just so fascinated by it. It was great. There was, it happened to be someone like working there who was just cracking up. Like, were they dirty? And then it turned off, and she's like, she said something about it not being long enough to get clean.
I mean, astute, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's accurate, yeah. So I can tick off Alaska on my states visited.
Yeah.
That was fun.
One of the hardest ones to reach.
What was that? Yeah.
One of the most difficult ones to reach.
Yeah, and we were out pretty remote, and a lot of the places that we actually stopped were these like islands that, like, you know, in this town, like the road extends like, you know, 16 miles in this direction and 12 miles in this direction. That's it. And that's the extent. Like, the only way you can get to this place is by airplane or boat. And like, there is several of those. I mean, Juneau, where we landed, is one of those. And I think Sitka, where we left from, is also on an island. So, yeah.
Can you imagine like being in one of those cities, like, you know, fairly inland in Alaska, and like, oh, whatever appliance breaks, you know? And I can't.
Well, they talked about that. Some of
So then we got to fly something in, and it's like, yeah, a big deal when that plane lands. I'm sure everybody in the city knows, like, oh.
So both the day that we
microwaves here today.
Both the day that we landed and the day that we left, we had sort of a local tour guide take us someplace or take us around town. And there was also somebody who was from Alaska that was on the boat. She was a marine biologist that sort of specialized in salmon from Anchorage, or not Anchorage specifically, but around there. Anyway, they talked about how, because there are a lot of, especially in Southeast Alaska, where you're on this island, an island that doesn't have a lot of contact with the mainland, that there's sort of a culture of just fixing shit, like taking and scavenging, and like taking, like, you know, you put out your trash and somebody goes through your trash and like, oh, I could use this thing. And then they use that thing to fix their other thing. And so like, there is
rude to like put larger items in the trash can. You would like,
yeah, there's like this example of like, you know, this boat that got, you know, beached or crashed or whatever. And then like people coming through and like, oh, I could use a, you know, radiator, and like, you know, just picking it apart because it's dead now. And, but we can use all these different pieces for different things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's very much a thing, because they don't have access to things. And you know, I was thinking about like buying a car. Like, how does that work when you live on an island? Like, do car lots exist in these cities? I'm guessing they don't. When you buy a car, do you go to like the mainland and then have it cargo shipped to your island? And like, how much
would you need to go to the car?
That's a fair point too. Why would you need
the last? The last three cars I bought, like, I didn't test drive. I just had them shipped to me. It's a car. Like, what's? It's fine. Whatever.
No, yeah. I know, but yeah, that's true. That's true. But like, it would have to come from
one. I didn't
from someplace
that it was just.
It like would have to come from someplace
like,
that.
Truck. That's probably fine.
It would have to come from someplace that had access to, like, you know, shipments of vehicles, which, you know, wouldn't necessarily come on these cargo ships.
I don't know. Two of the cars that I bought, like, the shipping was kind of like, bought the car and then I'm like, well, now I got to get it to me. Right. And the dealer I worked with is a friend of mine. He's like, yeah, let me like, just, there's like a bulletin board somewhere, virtual bulletin board that you can post, like, hey, I need to move this car from this zip code to this zip code. And I
literally found that, you know, that bulletin board that you're talking about probably when my car was broken down in Winnemucca and we had come back home. And yeah, I had to get my car from Winnemucca, Nevada to Salt Lake City.
And like, you know, in this case, like, I went to the lowest bidder because who the heck knows, like, what you're, you know, yeah. And then I got, when they've delivered the car, they delivered to the wrong place and I had to catch an Uber.
That's
out
what
there
happens when you find the lowest line. Bidder.
Oh yeah. It was a thing. And it was like completely out of gas. But they're supposed to deliver it to you running. So they had to go buy a gallon of gas to put in it to start it up. I thought I was going to be robbed and left on the side of the road at one point. It was fun. I survived. It's great.
Makes for a good story.
Yeah.
And now we get to find out what Ikigai is.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, there's no translation, no direct English translation, but it basically embodies the idea of happiness in living. So it's kind of the reason you get up in the morning.
I love that.
It often is associated with this Venn diagram that has four overlapping circles. So what you love, what you're good at, what the world needs, and what you can be paid for.
I've seen that. And I didn't know it was Ikigai. I love this.
Yeah. Anyway, that's kind of the Western idea of it. And it doesn't necessarily have to do anything with income or have to do, but it's basically just like your value in life can be work, but it's not necessarily limited to that. It really just obviously is such an individual thing.
But we got the Japanese part, right?
You did. And actually it's composed of two words. So Iki means life and Gai describes value or worth. So, but how would you know that? I didn't know that.
No, but now every time I hear the word icky, I will think life. At least for the next 72 hours, and then it will be replaced.
If someone goes, that's icky, you can be like, that's life.
Somewhat coincidentally.
And I will laugh at the joke, and they will not get it. And
yeah. We started watching, because it's on Netflix now, and a show called Cat People. Partially I was inspired to start the series with the kids because they're one of the episodes is about the Acrocats, which we went to see live before the pandemic, which is really cool. Wow. And it's like a bunch of cats that do tricks. And it's awesome. And so we wanted to see their episode, and then we watched the other ones. And so the one that we watched earlier this week, and my daughter loves it because, you know, cats. The one that we saw this week was a Japanese woman who makes cat portraits that are three-dimensional out of like felt. She felts these insanely realistic cat portraits. She was an artist, like, you know, went to art school and whatever, and, you know, wanted to be a painter and then wanted to be a photographer and like never really found her place. And like, then like this becomes her place. And it was really sort of interesting. So it's like interesting that like we have this like Japanese concept of I don't know, a fulfilled life, and that's sort of like that story was kind of about her finding her place and finding the thing that gave her a sense of worth and value.
1.2 miles that way is a cat cafe.
It's a cat what?
Cafe.
Cat cafe. Cat, yeah.
You can go in, you pay and hang out with cats, which
yep.
Like I know of in Japan, obviously, but for it to be in the city of Concord, like, it's
Okay. We have a cat cafe. Right. It's called Tinker Cats. Tinkers. I mean, Tinkers. Tinkers
Cat Cafe. A lot of cats and a coffee machine.
Right. Cat cafe. Yeah.
This place also has down beer. The bar. Does, so, you can go get a beer and pet cats. And
yeah.
And honestly, I'm like, oh, who would do that? But actually, now that we don't have any animals in our lives, I'm like, I might need to make that like a place I work from for an hour one day.
A lot of times you can adopt the cats that they have in there too. And that's a lot of times it's like,
I'm ready for that.
A lot of times it's older cats that would not necessarily thrive in a shelter or a rescue or something because people tend to want kittens. The thing. I think that's part of the reason why a lot of those places exist. That's definitely at the one that we have is all of those cats are up for adoption. And they get cats in from places.
I don't know what it is. There's part of me that is just absolutely fascinated by the economics of like small towns. So like the spot, like, I don't know, like I think more and more I feel an imperative to support like, you know, small business, but specifically like underrepresented small business, right? So there's a place downtown called Bottle and Can that sells beer. Cans. And so like pretty much anytime I'm like doing like a small gift for someone, I'm like, I'm gonna go there and get them a six pack and the beer's overpriced and whatever. But it also has like a lot of my clients' beer. So it's cool. Like I can get like a really wacky beer and like unique. But next to it is the Thai restaurant, which is wonderful. I should mention Bottle and Can is a woman-owned company. Across the street is the game store. So like on a Friday, like I might head downtown and take a kid with me and we'll go like Thai restaurant, play some order, hit the game store, walk across the street, get some beer, pick up Thai food, head home. And it's like
trifecta.
It's a pretty big day when we do that, honestly. Like I'm pretty excited and exhausted because that's at least three people I have to talk to. like the real world. But it's also like you can parallel park right on the street in front of one of these places. And it's like, you know, there's the stupid old Coca-Cola advertisement painted on the wall, like on the side of this brick building. And, you know, everything down there is, you know, 75 years old. And, you know, it's weird. It's weird. Oh, the bookstore.
Dang. We have a couple game stores.
And how do they survive? That's where I was going. How do they survive? How do they do it? There's never anybody in there. Like what? Is the rent free? I don't know. That's it.
We have a couple game stores in Salt Lake City, and obviously Salt Lake City is not a small city. But I very, very rarely visit them because we do most of our shopping online. So last year when Wizards of the Coast released a new book that I wanted, I pre-ordered it from a friendly local game store and actually physically walked into an actual building and had them hand an actual book to me. And engaged with real people in the real world. And it was actually kind of cool. This fall with the books they're releasing this fall, I might do the same thing again.
I have a loyalty account.
I mean, once per season isn't gonna hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's tough. You know, there's like, you know, they're releasing three books like October, November, and September.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.